It's time now for Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here is Jackie LeBeau.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, it feels like winter out there this morning. It sort of came in and gave us a bite, huh? And be careful because the roads are just a little slick. I had a couple detours on my way into the studio this morning. We're just not thinking about it this early. Just enough moisture, I think, out there to make things slippy. So anyway, it's at one of those gray days, so this is definitely November. So I'm thinking I should tell you, my schedule is really filling up. So if you've been thinking about touching base with your loved ones, during this holiday season, because all kinds of feel-good messages to let them know that they're still around and they're looking after you and helping. And I know my grandma always comes in when I'm baking Christmas cookies. So I know I'm thinking about her and that pulls her in. So that works for you too. When you're thinking about your loved ones, that draws them near. So if anybody's thinking about having a group reading, that's fun when you have family and friends together. Give me a call at my office and the number is 717-968-5289 and I can help connect you. So anyway, this morning, many of you will remember our guest from joining us earlier this spring when she was telling us all about natural solutions and toxic-free flea and tick solutions. And I have to tell you, thanks to Dr. Chambreau, I was prepared this fall when we ended up with fleas at our house. And we used some of the techniques that she told us all about. And I know from talking to my vet, this was a big season for fleas and ticks. So I know many of you are probably battling that same battle. So think about some of the things that she gave us. And I have to tell you, I used the flea busters powder. And we are now flea free at my house. Just staying on top of it, though, I tell you, your vacuum is your best friend when it comes to fleas. So anyway, without further ado, let me remind you about Christina Chambreau. She's a veterinarian and an author. She's an internationally renowned holistic vet. She presents internationally on diet and nutrition, homeopathy, and other holistic practices. And we're going to talk this morning about natural foods and their healing properties and how we can heal our animal companions from our own kitchen. So Dr. Chambreau is going to touch on some of the topics from her upcoming 4-hour workshop. And I'll tell you, that's coming up this Saturday. We'll tell you more about that. It's in the area, so you can run down there and take part in that and talk to some other good experts that she's bringing in. We're also going to talk about how the body processes foods and supplements, what to look for and avoid in selecting the food for your animals, and just simple steps that you can do yourself. And I know that helped us so much when we talked about fleas and ticks. So, welcome, Dr. Chambreau.
Well, thank you very much. I love to be here. I'm sorry there's ice on the roads because that's always not very safe for people. And it's also not so safe for your animals, particularly when there's a little more ice on the road, they start using salt. I was just up in Alberta, Canada, teaching, and Calgary has always used sand up until this year. And this year they began using salt. And salt can be really damaging to your animal's feet. So you want to try to find areas to walk your dogs where there's not a lot of salt, even that's splashed on the side of the road. If you think about it, the sidewalks often have salt.
Yeah.
So there are places, I don't have any one place, but there are booties you can get for your dogs. And so if you train your dogs to use booties, then that will protect their feet against salt, as well as ice building up between their pads if we get, a whole lot of snow. So I was blessed with 2 snowstorms in Calgary. I love snow. So I don't have to have it here because I had it up there.
You got the early snow. So, and then, besides the booties, Christina, I mean, doesn't it always help, like, if you are out when you come home to wash their feet?
Absolutely. If you don't have booties, washing their feet is wonderful.
Yeah, just to get that out and get that off of there because that can be so drying and irritating.
Right, absolutely. And it's also important, we all have to remember, in this day and age, we sometimes get Oh, we feel very disempowered when we hear about what our government is doing that may, you know, not fit what we want. And we have to remember that at a local level, we can have this planet be and our neighborhood be what we want it to be. So if having salt on the roads is disturbing to you, then you need to work with your local government. Local is best, so you want to focus on local. Have where you live be the way you want it to be.
Well, this is good, following our local elections.
There you go.
You know,
absolutely.
So everybody had their opportunity, and we've got, you know, new people in there, so this is a good way to get started.
And communicate to them what you want, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're involved with animal rescue and there are laws or regulations that don't work for you, if you've realized that after this talk today that you really want to be able to go to a local farmer and see chickens and beef and bison and your meat sources for your dogs and cats be raised locally, then make sure that you find ways to support those local farmers so they don't have laws that prohibit them from doing a good job.
Yeah, I know. We actually use a local farmer for all the meats that we buy for ourselves and for our dogs.
Perfect. Now, I'm going to up the level a little bit for you, and I'm going to start in right with this. Until now, I've encouraged people to make sure that the meat that they're getting for their animals and themselves, if at all possible, is from animals that are truly free range, chickens that are running around in the grass.
That's what we get, Christina. Are you going to, you said before now, are you changing that?
No, but I'm upping the ante now.
Oh.
The Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture has been doing some research, and they've actually found some dogs and cats, and I don't have the details on this. I need to pull it together for this weekend. But Dr. Sue Beal, who's a holistic veterinarian working with the Department of Agriculture, told us that they've done some studies showing that free-range chickens who are fed GMO, genetically modified organism, grains like corn and wheat, particularly corn, have been causing health problems in dogs and cats. So now, not only do they have to be free-range, but they need to be fed organic grains, or the farmer needs to be raising his own grains.
Oh, interesting. So they're saying if they're using GMO grains. Now, I'm thinking the chickens that we're getting aren't getting much grain because they're in the field.
Well, guess what?
What?
I thought the same thing, and you and I are wrong, Jackie.
Oh!
It turns out there's a wonderful farmer down here that I met who has a farm called the Contented Rooster.
Uh-huh. That's a good name.
The Contented Rooster Farm. And then I was at a wonderful camp in New Hampshire for a wedding called Camp Glenbrook. And through both of these places, I learned that how we have modified chickens over the years to grow really fast so that at, I think it's 16 weeks of age, they're slaughtered and that they're full size and have these great big white chicken breasts, that these chickens only get 10% of their nutrition from the grass and the bugs and the insects, and 90% of their nutrition is coming from grains.
But where are those chickens that's true? Because if you're not in, like, a chicken house,
outside.
Outside?
These are outside chickens running around loose. It turns out that they've been genetically, you know, they've been inbred in such a way that they have a higher demand for protein. Like, I visited Kauai last year, and which is a really heart place for me. And in Kauai, they have these wonderful chickens that are running all over the island. You hear roosters crowing, like, all the time. It's wonderful. And nobody's feeding them grains. However, because of the inbreeding that we've done to select for rapid growth and huge breast size, those actually have to have... Now, you know, maybe it's they need 70% grain and not 90% grain, but I thought they were getting like 10% grain.
Yeah, me too. So, but where are they getting the grain?
being fed by the farmers. The farmers are feeding it to them.
Oh, so you're saying they're taking it out in the field and feeding them that?
Right, exactly.
So you have to know your farmer.
Exactly. But the point is, even the contented rooster guy, who's doing his best to be local and sustainable, said he has to feed, he's the one who said 90%. So he has to feed all of his free-ranging chickens. Now, what he does is he has now realized that he needs to feed organic grains, and so he was, this is about 2 or 3 months ago when I spoke with him, he's working with a farmer in Allegheny County to get the organic grains he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And at Camp Glenbrook in New Hampshire, they're feeding organic grains, which, of course, cost twice as much, which
right.
means you should be paying more for your chicken because the farmer needs to make his living, his or her living.
Mm-hmm.
And so at Camp Glenbrook, they're now experimenting and have a target that within 5 years they'll be growing enough of their own grains. They're growing amaranth and some of the real high-protein grains that they'll be able to feed their chickens.
Okay.
Local grains.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, Christina, I'm going to pause this for a second. I think we have a caller. Right, Gil?
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we have some questions.
Good.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's calling?
This is Roxanne calling.
Hey, Roxanne, do you have some questions about feeding your animals?
No, I don't have animals.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's hold off today, and we'll get back to you next week. We're going to keep talking with Dr. Chambrow.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Christina, we're back.
Well, so I want to sort of, we've started at the high end. We've started at the very best you can do for your animals. Use organic grains fed to free-range meat sources and try to purchase whole animals and the people who are eating meat. If you're not a vegetarian, you take the breast and maybe the legs, and then the rest of the chicken goes to the dogs and the cats. So you try to use the parts of the animal that people don't eat, lungs, trachea. One of the best things is the stomach, which is called tripe.
I know, they just love that. You think they, I mean, I'm telling you, they go gaga over that.
Well, it's got lots of good organisms in it, as long as you don't want to buy tripe from the grocery store that's been bleached, because then it has no goodness in it anymore. So that's the high end to do that. Now, I'm going to jump really quickly to the other end.
Okay.
So right now, you're feeding your cats or your dogs food that you go to the grocery store to buy. And what I want you to know, I'm going to ask a question for everyone who's listening and everybody. Do people get to listen to this afterwards?
Sure, it's on my website.
It's on your website.
Yep.
So for people listening, whether now or later, the question I want you to answer is, what's the best food for people, fresh or processed? Ah, fresh, you say. Lots of variety of fresh food. Oh, I hadn't thought about that for my animals. Wow, definitely. What I want to be doing is feeding fresh food, not processed food, to my animals. So that's sometimes a big leap, because your veterinarian may be telling you that feeding fresh food is bad for your animals. So I've been a veterinarian. I graduated from University of Georgia in 1980, started doing holistic in 1983, and I will tell you that animals are like people, and they thrive on fresh food. Sometimes it completely makes them healthy. Other times it just improves their health a little bit, or you don't see any difference.
Remember, it hasn't really been that long that we've had processed dog foods. I mean, in the old days, we just gave our animals what we were eating.
You got it. It was, well, not even what we were eating, but often they were foraging for themselves with the leftover scraps that we threw out.
Mm-hmm.
And when we butchered a hog, they would get to, you know, gorge for a few days with the pieces that we didn't eat. So processed food has been there for only basically 100 years, and dogs and cats' physiology has not changed. They still have ripping and tearing teeth, bone-crunching teeth, a stomach with a really high pH, a really low pH, a really high acid, and that acid eats up the bones, kills bacteria, but doesn't do very much for grains or vegetables. So you want your vegetables to be pureed as fine as you can, because then the nutrients can be absorbed in the intestines, because food zips through the intestines much faster than it does for people. So once you agree that fresh food is better, then there are lots of different opinions out there. But if you're still feeding commercial food, it's almost impossible to tell you what a good commercial food is, because the companies change hands all the time. And a company that has okay processed food changes, is bought by somebody else, and then the ingredients stay the same on the label, but the quality of the ingredients goes down. I've even heard of food companies where they sweep the floor from making cow food and put the sweepings into the dog food that's going to be made the next day. I have people who've seen that happen.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
and yeah, we know that problems from, you know, we had 9,000-10,000 animals die from foods that came in from China, and we have recalls frequently. So if you can just feed one fresh food meal a week, you'll see a benefit in your animal's health.
I was going to ask you that, Christina, because I was saying, let's give people...
That's right. That's why I said I'm jumping to the other end.
Yeah, well, let's give them... a protocol. We're not saying that everything your animal eats you have to switch
right,
exactly
absolutely.
What you did and go whole hog the other way.
Yep.
But like you said, even if it's one a week, if it's, you know, one of the two of the day, but just giving them that little bit of fresh food makes such a tremendous difference.
And it is okay, although there is some debate about it, even between holistic veterinarians. It is okay to feed some processed food one meal and fresh food the next meal, or processed food with fresh food on top of it.
I was going to ask you that
forever.
Question in particular, because
yes.
I'm thinking about how your stomach digests things. Is it harder if you mix the fresh and the processed in the same meal?
There are some people who say that it is. It's not.
Okay.
In my opinion, it absolutely is not.
Because it would go through your intestine differently, right? So the fresh stuff would go through quicker, and then the processed stuff would take...
Well, but here's the thing. The processed stuff isn't just a one ingredient.
Okay.
The processed food has multiple ingredients in it, each one of which is broken down in the body differently.
All right. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
So you're still... just breaking, you know, you're just adding another variety.
Right, your stomach is sort of like taking the different pieces and processing them separately, not
exactly.
just as that hunk. Okay, you know, that's funny.
Exactly.
I never had that in my head that way.
Now, I know there are people, you know, when you talk about diet for people, it's the same way. Some people say, oh, you should eat your meat separate from your, I don't know, your carbohydrates.
Yeah,
or your
eat fruit separately.
Right. And for some people, that may be true. And
yeah.
for some dogs and cats, you may find that one approach doesn't work as well as another approach.
And I'm so glad that you said that, Christina, because it is true for people, too. Just because something works for my husband doesn't mean it works for me.
That's right.
You know, so it's and the same thing with your dogs. And, you know, and we have multiple dogs, so it's like you can't. Necessarily.
Each one is different.
Yeah.
There's one of the newer books out on diet by Steve Brown, who wrote, he and Beth Taylor wrote See Spot, Live Longer.
Mm-hmm.
But his newest book is Unlocking the Canine Ancestral Diet.
Unlocking the Canine Ancestral Diet.
And on the cover, in bright yellow star, it says, works with dry food.
Oh, interesting.
And his book, because his first book was hitting the high level of switch all the way to fresh food, da-da-da-da-da-da, this book says feed one fresh meal a week. So just what I'm talking about is what he said, because people weren't doing it and all the way. And so he said, well, let's see what happens if we do it just occasionally.
So now did he actually do that and track the results?
Yes. Yep, he actually has some case histories
Interesting.
From the animals.
But that's so important. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was going to make sure that we covered that, because mm-hmm. it's very difficult for some people mm-hmm. to make that switch.
Absolutely.
But this is a way for them to still do it. I remember years ago we had a holistic vet, and he told us, you know, because now, you know, we feed the raw. And he said, even if you just gave her a cup of that,
yes.
you know, that would make a tremendous difference.
One of the most fun things is if you are a family, and, you know, I find more of these up in Pennsylvania than I do down towards Baltimore. So if you're a family who cooks family meals, then how wonderful just to include your companions, your animal companions, as part of your family. As opposed to thinking, I have to feed the dog. Instead, it's like, okay, it's mealtime. Let's feed all the people in our house. Now, some people, because they're busy, may have one meal a week as a family together. So at that one meal a week, you include your animals as part of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way you would do that... Now, sometimes it takes some transition time. Not all cats are going to immediately go for a raw food diet. Some cats are very picky. Some small dogs are very picky. Even some big dogs are picky. But let's first make it, that's sort of another topic to address. But let's assume that your dog, you have a dog who loves to eat anything or loves to eat, period.
Uh-huh.
Or you've worked with your cat to where your cat will now eat a variety of different things. So say you're having steak, broccoli, squash, and a salad for dinner. So when you're preparing, so first step is you put a food processor by your sink. And now as you prepare the broccoli and you cut the hard parts of the broccoli off, you put those in the food processor, but you don't turn it on. So no extra step. Instead of the compost, it goes in the food processor. And you clean out the squash and the squash seeds, and you wouldn't want to eat raw squash seeds and all that fiber stuff that's in the squash.
Yeah, yeah.
But your dog could care less. Your dog would go out into the, if he could get his teeth through that acorn squash, he'd eat the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're eating zucchini, you eat the whole thing. So you put all the scrapings from the acorn squash into the food processor, but not the skin, because that's pretty hard. I mean, some dogs might do okay with the skin, but not all of them.
I think that might be bitter, too.
Well, again, some dogs may do fine with it. So,
okay.
But just to keep it sort of easy. So instead of the compost, you put it in there. Then you cook your vegetables. You roast the squash, and you steam the broccoli. You pour the broccoli water into the food processor, and any juices that came off of the squash into the food processor. And it's okay if there's salt in it, pepper, even a little bit of spices. Our animals do fine with spices.
Even pepper,
absolutely.
Oh, that's funny.
And again, different animals, different tastes.
Well, Larry will be glad to hear you say that, because every time we have eggs and he has some leftover, I always say, oh, you can't give that to him if
oh,
it
yes,
has pepper.
Oh, absolutely. There really are very few no-nos. So if you were doing onions as part of your meal, if you were doing like those little pearl onions and you
mm-hmm.
were going to steam those, or you're doing big onions sliced up, you don't want to put onion leavings into the food processor, because a lot of onion might cause a problem.
Okay, so
avoid
the onion.
However, if you have chopped up onions that are in your fried rice, chopped up onions that you added to the broccoli or that were in the squash, then on the next step, it's okay to include some of that. So right now you have the raw veggie leavings, you have the juice, the water that it was cooked in. Now you sit down and eat your dinner. And then any cooked vegetables that are left over get put in the food processor. Now it takes more time. Oh, my goodness, you have to turn on the food processor.
Yeah, I love that, Christine.
And then you have to wash it.
Okay.
So that's the only extra time it takes to make the vegetables for your dog's meal. Now, if you have huge, big dogs and a lot of them, then that's not going to be enough. You'll have to do shopping for these other members of your family and include, maybe cook up an extra batch of vegetables so you have raw and cooked vegetables in the food processor.
Okay.
And you might have to do two or three batches.
Yeah. Well, let's hold on. We'll come right back to that.
Great.
We're going to do a quick commercial break, and then we'll finish talking about how easy this is to include them in meals.
Sounds good.
Okay.
The holiday season is...
WHVR, now back to Jackie LeBeau and Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Christina Chambrow, and we've been talking about how easy it is to include your animals when you're cooking, and they're using up all those things we would have thrown out, and it's all good food. So I love that you were telling us how we can do that, Christina.
Well, and, you know, the point is, if we're going to be cooking good, for most people, having fun in the kitchen is something that sometimes has to be learned. And so if you're already a chef and you're having fun cooking, then it's easy to start cooking for your animal once you answer that quick question, what's the best for me? Ah, fresh food. What's the best for my animal? Ah, duh. Fresh food.
And you know what, Christina? It's not like you're cooking for your animal. You're just cooking, and they're eating
That's
it too.
Right. Absolutely. And for instance, you think about personal chefs coming to the house for people who can afford that. Well, this weekend on November 16th in Hunt Valley, Maryland, is we actually have a dog chef who's a personal chef who comes to people's homes and prepares their dog's food.
Oh, my gosh. Could he prepare my food?
He could. He can do both. He can cook. He actually is a professional people chef.
Okay.
Who then has shifted over to doing dogs. His name is Kevin Matthews.
Okay.
And so he's one of the four of us who's going to be speaking from 1 to 5 in Hunt Valley.
Right, and Kevin's been featured on Animal Planet's Dogs 101, right?
Absolutely, and he even has a new show. I can't think of the name of it, but it's being filmed in Belgium. And the name is something like Super Pampered Pets.
Okay.
Because having a dog chef come to your house is definitely super pampering you and your dog. But still, for some people, that's what works the best. I mean, many people now have dog walkers that come and walk their dogs during the middle of the day because they're working long hours.
Yeah.
My clients in New York always go out to eat. Their kitchen usually is a dorm-sized refrigerator and a hot plate. So for their big dogs especially, they go to the restaurant and they order a second meal. So they order their steak dinner, and then they order, I would like a raw steak, please.
Oh, my gosh, I love
dinner,
this.
And then they take that home to their dog.
That is too funny. I
or
love
they
that
stop
they
by
do
a,
that.
Or they stop by a store, and they do the salad bar, and then pick up a whole raw chicken.
Yeah.
So they shop for themselves and shop for their dogs.
Oh, that's,
or cats.
That's great. Well, now, quick, tell
so
us.
So in order to register for this event.
Yes, that's what I want to tell people, how they can find you, because it's this Saturday.
The group that's hosting it is the Animal Reiki Alliance. And that's the website, one website.
And that's one of your speakers, too, right,
Kathleen
Lester? Yes,
Kathleen Lester will also be speaking. AnimalReikiAlliance.com.
Okay, and I'm going to spell Reiki for people. It's R-E-I-K-I.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
And then Alliance, A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E.
Yeah, AnimalReikiAlliance.com. Okay.
And then you just click on events.
Okay.
And there's a place, there's a button for you to register.
All right, and then
this is not to be missed, because we also have, this is a class, if you have any concerns for your own health, you want to come to this class as well, because we have Kendall Reichart, and she has been a nutritional consultant for people for years, and she does a specific thing where she draws a drop of blood, puts it, of your blood or your dog's blood, puts it under a microscope, and for people, she has all these books she looks at that say, depending on the shape of the blood cell,
mm-hmm.
you should be having this food, you should avoid this food, you're having this issue. So it's a wonderful way to improve your health. And she's done this where she's done some blood. We did a whole kennel that had been on raw food. And the dogs had, different dogs in the kennel, because they had adopted some new ones, had been on raw food for more or less time. And she could see by looking at the blood cells that the longer the dogs had been on the fresh food, the healthier they were.
And where is Kendall, like if you can't come to your event this Saturday, how can you get in touch with her?
Right. She's in Hereford, Maryland, which is just north of
Hunt Valley. Okay.
And her website is, I'll tell you in just a minute, I just want to confirm it. So, again, mostly she's doing people,
right.
Not dogs.
Right.
But she is working to do some sort of studies with dogs, and she carries one of the frozen raw food diets as well as something called green mush, which some people use to help transition dogs. It's got fresh vegetables pureed in it and with some probiotics in it.
Okay.
And so she also carries that for people that are local to the northern Baltimore County area. And, of course, everybody can always connect on my website, which is My Healthy Animals.
Okay.
And
so you can connect with Kendall from your site?
Well, no, but you can connect with our workshop.
Okay.
From there if you go to events.
Okay. And your workshop is in Hunt Valley.
Yep.
So it's not very far from us at all. It's this Saturday from 1 to 5.
Yep.
Okay, so the address, is it at, I have the address at 11200 York Road.
Right.
That
is a hotel.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you.
I'm not sure which hotel that is.
Okay, we could probably find that at animalreikialliance.com.
Yeah, well, it doesn't actually say, it just gives the address.
Okay.
So it doesn't tell us specifically for that.
Okay, and Kendall's, did you find her?
No, I'm still working
That's
on
okay.
it. The one I thought I had was not it.
That's okay.
So,
but I'm glad we had a chance to tell everybody about this, because I am already committed this Saturday. I am just so bummed because I would so much want to be here.
Well, we will. I'm not sure if we're going to make a video of this, or if we're going to be doing merely an audio recording of it.
Okay.
But we will be recording it in some way, and it will be available through the Animal Reiki Alliance website and through my website, and probably through Kevin's as well and Kendall's.
I'm so glad you said that.
So I have Kendall Reichardt's information, and her website is www.naturalvibranthealth.com.
naturalvibranthealth.net.
Yeah, I had .com when I tried it first.
Yeah, okay, very
it's good. .net. And the phone number for her is 443-250-9335.
9335, okay.
And then Kevin Matthews' website is thedogchef.net.
.net. I'm so glad you're saying that, because, you know, you just automatically go .com.
Right.
Okay, very good.
And his phone number is 301-785-2998.
Okay, very good.
And importantly, by going to the AnimalReikiAlliance.com website, you also will see when Reiki classes are being held. And one of the most important things you can do, that everybody can do, is to learn Reiki. And how that applies to food is, if you have an animal who's not eating well, or maybe you're trying to transition your cat or your dog onto more of a fresh food diet, and the cat may be rebelling a bit, if you do Reiki on the food, they often will eat it.
Oh, interesting.
Because it shifts the vibration of the food to be more similar to the vibration of the animal.
Interesting.
Yep. And while it's still not the best, if you Reiki commercial food before you give it, it probably, I haven't really tested this, but it should make it less damaging for your animals.
Isn't that interesting?
So what happens when you have bad food? When you have food that's not right for your body, is in the process of trying to digest it, the body says, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to get rid of that. Well, how does the body get rid of things? It stimulates the inflammatory response. So if you get a splinter in your body, your whole body reacts to get rid of that splinter. It causes pus and redness and pain and heat and inflammation, because inflammation is the way the body rids itself of what's not good for it. And that's what causes joint pains. Arthritis, for instance, or stiffness and considered old age, is not because of years lived. It's because of inflammation. And inflammation is caused by things we're doing things that aren't good for us. So for some animals, it maybe some horses or even dogs, it's that they've been worked too hard for their body without the right nutrition, and therefore they're starting inflammation. It could be that they haven't had enough exercise and poor nutrition, and maybe other toxins like flea toxins being given, the chemical flea control. And if somebody does go to my website, if they sign up for the newsletter, which comes out very sporadically, unfortunately, I'm not good at that
yet. I understand that one.
But when you sign up, you do get a free report on natural flea care.
And that's wonderful. I just have to say that to everybody, because I have that report, and I go back to that just like this fall when we had the flea problem. That the first thing I pulled out was your report, Dr.
Yep.
Shambro.
And next time, before you have a flea problem, it may not even be in my book. I think I've added it, but maybe not yet. There's some really great things called flea tags, and it's under the website is SHOO, S-H-O-O, tag. And they make separate tags for people for mosquitoes, dogs for ticks, dogs and cats for fleas, and some that are combined. And if you put those on before you have a flea problem, then you may not have a flea problem. Or if you're flea combing and you see your first flea, you stick it on. It's not good once they've really got a lot of fleas, but at the very beginning, they can really help prevent it, and there's nothing negative about them. They're putting out a very tiny vibration that's unique for each insect that repels them.
Yeah, I'm always like totally alarmed if I find one flea, because
right.
I know what that means.
Right. So these are really good. So let's see. So the main thing is, if you're looking at food labels, I want to spend just a moment on this.
Well, we have half a minute, Christina.
Right.
Maybe
if you're looking
have you
at
come
food
back.
Labels, what you want to do is make sure that some sort of meat is the first ingredient, that there are no grains, and that basically the top five things listed, you know what they mean.
Right, it's not words that you don't know how to pronounce.
Right, or byproducts that
right.
you don't know what that is, or meal that you don't know what that is. And that will help you, but go for fresh.
Go for fresh, very
Jackie's
good.
Jackie's a perfect example of going for fresh and how much of a difference it makes.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, Christina, as always, we love having you come on. You are so full of good information for us, and I hope you'll come back.
Anytime you ask me.
All right, absolutely.
I love it.
All right. Okay,
all right.
Everybody, check out Christina's site. All right.
Okay, Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, we're back. Just real quick, I want to thank Dr. Christina Shambro again, and we're going to have her back on because she is a wealth of information, and she has done wonderful things with my animals, and so take her up on some of her good ideas. Next week, we're going to switch gears again. We're going to go back to the medium side and the energy side, and my guest will be Mary Lee McRoberts. And Mary Lee is an intuitive, a medium, and an energy healer. She can see, sense, hear, and feel energy. And this allows her to read the energy fields of those who are living and communicate with people who have crossed. It also gives her great intuition. She is able to use her skills to extend to clearing unbalanced energies out of homes and businesses. And she's done a lot of work with businesses. creating harmony and balance to best serve those around. So this is the perfect time to talk to her because we're talking about cleaning up and cleaning up, and she's a energy clearing practitioner and feng shui. So coming up next week, join us.